This is TWiT.
All right, two things started 20 years ago this week. One's surviving, one's not.
Yeah.
AOL Instant Messenger closing its doors, finally.
R.I.P.
Now, you're young enough, Christina. I bet you used AIM a lot when you were a teenager.
Absolutely did.
Yeah.
Micah might be too young to have used it, but I know me and Benji for sure. Like,
you and I were going back and forth on it. What was your username?
Film Girl?
Was it Film Girl on that? No.
No, I was TV Freak 998.
mine was YGRPG. It stood for, I was a video game nerd. It stood for Yoshi Geno RPG from a video game I played.
Oh my God, I love it.
My daughter is 25 now, grew up on AIM. That was, you know, instead of calling as high schoolers did when I was a kid, we actually had phones back then. They just used AIM to talk. But my son is 22. Actually missed that. They didn't use AIM. By the time he was a teenager, they were using Skype and video chat and video conferencing and Google Hangouts and stuff. So it really was this kind of slice of time. Just for completeness sake, her AIM handle was Got a Bass, Not a Life, which I thought was good, except that she didn't play the bass. But anyway, it was clever. I liked it.
I can't remember mine. I'm sad about that. I didn't use it as much as some of my other friends did. All the time.
You were on the tail end of it, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I turned 25 this year, so I was on that on the tail end. But we wrote a eulogy over at iMore about it because it's still sad to see it go, and there were good times for sure.
So, an ode to AOL Instant Messenger, for Tori Folk from Mobile Nations. An ode. Is there actually a singing? Anything I could sing?
There should be a singing part.
There should be, because we would always set our away messages as song lyrics. Like, that was always the thing, is that you could tell how emo someone was being based on what, you know, song lyric they were choosing as their away message.
Well, I like this, though. Thanks. And this is kind of how it was on AIM. Thanks.
Isn't that clever?
No vowels for the Murray's AIM. Yeah. And then a bunch of emoji. You don't really have emojis. Hearts and pluses.
Yeah, you need a code. Yeah. Characters, yeah.
In 1997 to 2007. You know what else was started in 1997? That my generation loves? Slashdot. Slashdot. Rob Malda, Commander Taco, wrote a... He doesn't have anything to do with Slashdot. It's been sold and other companies run it. But he wrote a really nice kind of history of Slashdot on Medium, on the Free Code Camp Medium feed. It was originally a section on his homepage called Chips and Dips. And eventually he decided it was running static HTML. So eventually he decided to create something a little bit more sophisticated called slashdot.org. It was running on a DEC Alpha, of all things, which he got for free for skinning a Space Invaders clone. It was about a 486 speed, but it ran Linux, and he was pretty happy about that. Slashdot was almost immediately Slashdotted, which is kind of ironic, but Slashdot was pretty amazing for many years. That was the source of tech news, and it's now 20 years old, but it's still alive.
It is still alive. No, it's so interesting because, you know, before there was Hacker News, before there was Reddit, before there was Dig, you know, like Slashdot was the place, you know. I mean, even Twitter to a certain extent, like that's where you would kind of go to figure out what was at least like in kind of the nerd sphere, the tech sphere.
I think, as
a writer, I remember like when I first started writing professionally, like if the link got, you know, on Slashdot, that was a big deal. And then it became like, you know, Dig and Hacker News and Reddit and whatnot. But yeah, so funny.
I think, and in fact, I remember Kevin telling me, I think, that Slashdot inspired Dig, because we use Slashdot on Tech TV all the time. So that gave him the idea to do Dig. And then Dig was very clearly, I think Alexis Ohanian told me this, the inspiration for Reddit. So it all really started way back here. And it's run, who runs, is it the, not sure who owns it these days.
It's been sold a couple times.
It's SourceForge still. SourceForge
owns it? I'm looking on the Wikipedia, which, you know.
If someone bought it, like DICE bought it, but then sold it.
It says BizX owns it. I don't even know what that is.
Irony of these sites is it doesn't really matter who owns it as long as they keep the code base working because it's really a creation of the people who use it. But, so Slashdot today is not at all different from Slashdot 20 years ago.
Although you see kind of the same thing happen with Dig too, you know, as you see like the some of the users and the editors like migrate from one place to another, you know, and so the community around it like becomes important to keeping those things relevant. I mean, Rob Malta was he left like 2011. I want to say is probably when he left Slashdot, but he was there for a really really long time. And kind of went through, you know, a bunch of the changes even though it's not the same place it was and only certain people, I think, you know, kind of like still hang on and kind of go to Slashdot every day. Like I certainly don't visit it, ever unless, you know, like something like this happens and I see it, you know, weirdly, I saw it on Hacker News, right? I saw the Slashdot link but I was like, oh man, yeah, that was such of its time and such an important part, I think, of like news culture and internet culture. And it's awesome that it still exists after 20 years and that the people like Rob are still able to kind of share the oral history, so to speak, of how it came to be.